Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're one with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy July 10th to you. We're moving. We're moving through the summer. Feel good about it. About to have everything back in a minute. Now, NBA never leaves. It never goes away. Because right after you have the finals, you have the draft, and then you have the summer league. And thank God for it. Thank God for the Las Vegas Summer League, which gets underway today. And I am sure my partner has got some very poetic words for what we hope begins tonight.
Man, I don't know. That's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure on me. Poetic? I have words. I don't know if they will be poetic. A lot of pressure on me there.
He's going against Bronny.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Well, definitely. And a bet.
That's what I'm talking
about. A bet has
I'm
been made.
Talking to,
there we go. A bet has been made.
That's the kind of confidence I expected today.
I don't think you'll be surprised by it, by the way.
Okay. Interesting.
So,
Grizzlies don't get underway till tomorrow. Now, did you check the time of that game? That'll be 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Got it.
Against the Boston Celtics.
Jeffrey Wright will be preempted. We'll have live coverage of that.
That's right. He'll be able to take us through Big Three. Grizzlies' new Big Three, or at least Summer League Big Three. Going to be in action, you figure. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I would expect it. I hope you're going to roll out your best of your summer league. So, yes, plenty of summer league action to talk about. Our man Cam Jones.
Yeah.
Memphian expected to make his debut tonight for the Pacers as well. So, we got eyes all over this summer league thing. Okay. Think we don't.
Big day.
We're watching it all. We're watching it all. Yeah, Cam's going against the Cavaliers.
Yep.
Tonight. I believe that's this afternoon. That's a 4 p.m. game. Vegas time is going to be a little bit earlier, obviously. What's that, 2 o'clock out there?
Yeah.
All right, you know well.
Two hours. So
got Spurs Sixers too tonight.
Yeah, and no VJ Edgecombe.
No VJ.
No Dylan Harper.
Oh, Dylan. What about the other kid we like that the Spurs got?
Carter Bryant.
Carter
He'll
Bryant.
Play. He'll play. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't he get into a mix-up? Did you see that?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, he was pushing or something.
I thought something was dirty.
I'd
be tuning out.
I can't remember.
I have the game on, but
I tune out. Tuning out for what?
Like, I'm not, it's like I'm not paying attention. You're raising kids over there, too. Well, it doesn't take much to distract me from summer league basketball. You know, I'm like, oh, there's a firefly. They're back. I've noticed.
Are they?
Yeah. We have more fireflies.
I was talking about that with my wife the other day. Just how there's none.
They're back. Or at least they have been back.
There's a reason for that, I'm assuming. A scientific reason you're going to be able to fill us in on.
No, I don't. I don't know.
Usually you have that kind of information.
Yeah, I looked it up. I'm like, you know, because as a kid, I remember seeing them so often as a kid.
So when you say they're back, you know that to be fact, or it's just what it feels
well,
like?
I saw them. I saw them.
Yeah, you saw a couple of them.
Yeah.
But they're dying, bro. They're
they are dying.
Okay.
But it felt good to see them back.
Felt like a comeback. I thought you were telling us about a comeback.
No, I don't think we'll get a full-fledged, you know, return tour from the Fireflies.
Okay.
But yeah, we have a big day of basketball today here on the show. Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about getting out there in Vegas, going from Utah to Vegas, you know, the state of the Grizzlies. He was obviously there with the Utah Jazz. They shared a flight. I think he sat next to Ace Bailey on the flight back there in the back of the plane.
I bet you Bailey didn't do much talking.
Yeah.
They say probably just stayed on, though.
They say Ace has small hands, man.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Got them burrow hands?
There's a picture out there that's not very flattering of the hands. And, you know, it's all relative. It's like he's a giant human being.
Exactly. I'm saying goes up and dunks the ball. It's not like it comes out of his hands.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll get into all that today here on the show. Drew Hill will join us at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Bennett Doyle is going to be here.
Mm.
We talked about we're going to start doing this visit weekly. We're excited about it. He'll be here. We'll get to that conversation about the Grizzlies and Memphis sports. At large with them.
He can help me with Titans expectations as well. You know, we rarely talk about them because we're so
That's
Raiders
right.
and Bears centric
right.
with this show. The expectations for Cam from a true Titans fan.
I think they're pretty high, don't you?
Well, I don't know about in year one, but yes, I would imagine a lot higher than they were for a Captain Mayo.
Yeah. we'll talk about it with Bennett at 125. So that is the show today. History could be made. There's no doubt about that today in the NBA as Cooper Flagg set to make his debut. Not since a year ago have we seen a debut so anticipated. That, of course, was Wemby.
Yeah, it was more anticipated.
It was. Because there was
like
more,
2 years ago, right?
Was it technically? Yeah, I guess
it wasn't last year.
2 years. Yeah, you're right. There was more intrigue because like we had not seen him in the United States, right? Like we, you know, it was all France. It was all, you know, theoretical at that point.
I just think the hype too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Cooper hype is real, but it Wemby, we were saying future MVPs, all of that. I mean, we're not
best player ever.
We're not heaping that on best prospect ever. They were calling him on certainly since LeBron. Nobody's heaping that on to Cooper Flagg, bro. So. And what I heard about tickets, like that's in terms of tickets for tonight's game, it's most since Wemby, because that's what it, remember, Britney Spears was out there, bro.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot to bring her out to the, remember, to the summer. She wanted to touch him.
That is amazing.
She wanted
I
to
I forgot
see,
about that story.
She wanted to see Wemby. Like, it was huge. Don't get me wrong. Cooper's big, but it was not that big.
I'm glad you brought this up, man, because.
There she was. She came out, was acting crazy.
We haven't talked about the XXL freestyle heard around the world. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Of course not.
You know the XXL freestyle. You know, the newcomers of the rap game, you know, but get on with XXL. They do the cypher or whatever.
Yes.
Well, Ian, there's a young man named Ian who submitted his XXL freestyle. And I hope there's a clean version because I would absolutely love to get your reaction to it, and because the reason I say it was good, he brought up a Britney Spears line in the cipher, and everybody around the world is just absolutely roasting this freestyle, bro.
Okay,
I gotta try to find a clean one. Right. I don't know that I will be able to, but big show today, as always. Shout out to Britney Spears, who is doesn't look like she's doing very well. Doesn't look like she's
just has always a lot going on.
She does,
she's. Has control of her own life now, right?
She
does.
That's
what we all wanted for her.
Even if it leads to ruin, she at least will be at the controls.
Were we wrong to want that for her?
I think.
Because you were one her biggest champion for freedom.
Yeah, well, she tricked me.
You used to come on the show all the time and say, Free Britney, Free Britney.
Yeah.
What was it called? The Whatership?
Something. The Conservatorship.
Conservatorship.
Yep. And then,
those were.
You know, but it was all a front.
Important days.
As soon as she got the stuff relinquished,
yes.
The crazy really came out.
Be careful.
It did.
I'm just saying, she might sue you.
Well,
I think you have to be careful.
In my opinion, the crazy came out. Am I covered now by Odyssey's lawyers?
We hope so.
All right. Look, a lot to get to. Let's do a little thing that we call over-under.
Programming update, by the way, and we can, of course, ask Bennett Doyle about his over-under picks for the Titans win total when he gets in here at 125.
Yeah.
But we will be doing some Sunday doubleheaders in September as opposed to just doing Dallas Cowboys games to add some variety to the NFL lineup here on 92.9 this year. So it will be a little different football view, including Raiders games, Jets games. We might even have some Bears games on there. So
Are
that
you
is
serious.
Yes.
Love it.
We're mixing it up as opposed to being one-dimensional because I've given up on the Cowboys, and I am an aggregate fan. So looking forward to having Bennett rep the Titans at 125. Now, to the over-under here. By the way, Titans are going to have a low win total. Cooper Flagg. Let's start with the big news, of course, tonight on ESPN television. The Los Angeles Lakers favored in this game against the Dallas Mavericks at 7 o'clock at the Thomas and Mack Center on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, with Coach Josh Pastner in viewing sight. Cooper Flagg will score 18.5 points over-under.
Well, this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Here we go.
The debut of the great White Hope in a way that, you know, look, white players have come and gone. But none have been as inspiring, I think, as this one, as Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
I mean.
All based on that, like, Olympic training crap, right? That's
well,
what we're
going to I don't think it's just based
not
on that.
Crap.
And I think.
That was real.
That was real.
If I hear about the Olympic training and Cooper
tell
Flagg
you're tired
one more.
Of it. You're tired like, of me telling that story.
Go prove it on the court, Cooper Flagg.
Well, I mean, I think he kind of did.
And he did.
I mean, he did have.
He did lead steals, assists, points, and rebounds for the Duke Blue Devils.
That's right. They got to the Final Four and should have gone to the championship game if not for an egregious,
kind of got screwed
foul
there.
Call and some egregious free throw missing from Proctor.
That's fair. Good
not
point.
Not from Cooper Flagg. I mean, I believe he had 27 in that game against Houston. Yeah. Nobody scores 27 against Houston.
That's fair.
I mean, that's just the facts. So, this is not an official, at Caesars.
I was wondering if this number.
Yeah, I was wondering where you get the number.
Yeah, so the reason why I say 18.5 is because for him to score 20 at Caesars, it's plus 120. So I'm using 18.5 just as a rough back of the envelope math. It might be 17.5. It might be 18.5. They're actually going to use him as a point guard tonight. Like, they're going to use him experimentally. But I still believe he's going over this number. I mean, the Lakers summer league team is just not very good at all. I mean, what am I worried about on that team? I mean, it's Dalton Connect, Bronny James, who's been terrible, and a bunch of G League two-way wannabe guys. Like, that's what it is. And so, yeah, I think Cooper Flagg is a guy that relishes these kinds of moments. And I am going to bring up that Olympics exhibition with the select team because I think that was another situation where it's like, let me go show who I am. And I think he's playing one game. It's no accident that the NBA scheduled this game against the Lakers, in my view, because everybody's going to be there. The entire, all the stars are coming out. LeBron's going to be there. KD's going to be there. You name it, right? Like, I just think if there's a guy that's in Vegas, he's going to be at this game, an NBA star. And I think the Laker brand will bring the best out of Cooper Flagg. The opportunity to dunk on Bronny James will bring the best out of Cooper Flagg. He's a competitor. That's who he is. He wants to get in your face, talk mess.
That's right.
I think he meets the moment tonight. I think he scores 20. This will not be Wimby, where Wimby took two games to kind of acclimate.
Yeah, his first game was bad, so they made sure he went back
exactly.
out
exactly. I think it's going to be one and done for Coop. Mm-hmm. I think he's scoring 20.
That's interesting.
And I think we'll come in here tomorrow saying, damn, he looked good.
I think you've convinced me, particularly with the spot that he's in. He knows it. It's on ESPN. It's prime time, 7 o'clock. To them, it's going to feel like the whole world is watching. He's going to have, teammates there with the Mavs. I imagine Anthony Davis probably going to be one of those ones that's in attendance.
Yep.
I mean, him and LeBron both, like you said, and Anthony Davis going to be there to see what you can do.
Yep.
To see what you're going to bring to the table. And so he's going to want to shine. It's a moment. I mean, it's an opportunity for him to, and he's never shied away from the moment.
Yep.
In fact, he's always shined in it. And so that's you've convinced me it's going to be over 18.5. I'm interested to see him as playmaker.
Yeah.
But in the end, dude, we know this guy's a bucket. He knows how to get to the basket and has done it. I'd go back to that. Dude, we saw Kyrie cutting him up when he was coming up. I mean, those guys that stand out in those select games, usually admit, you're headed for a pretty good career. I think he goes over 18.5 because we're talking about a moment, and he's always great in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's who this guy is.
And he's always lived up to it.
Yes.
Good call by you.
Because, go look at his NCAA tournament. He didn't have a bad game. I mean, and not only did he not have a bad game, the dude was putting up numbers every single night.
Remember, too, he got hurt.
Yep.
I mean, this dude was coming back off. What was that, ACC tournament where he turned his ankle? We thought he might be done. In the moment we watched it, we said, man, that's a real bad one.
Yep.
Coming out of the air.
I mean, he had 18, 9, and 6 against Baylor. He had 36-7 against Arizona. He had 16-9-3 against Bama. And then he had 27-7-4 against Houston.
And his ankle was turned to the side in the ACC tournament. There was no promise any of that was going to happen.
That's right. He had 14 against Mount St. Mary's because they won by a billion. So, yeah, I mean, I think Cooper Flagg's not going to waste these opportunities.
No, and he knows Bronny's on the other side. He's not going to give that any chance to have any oxygen. To be the story. He knows he's the story. He's not going to allow that to happen.
Yep. And I think also, and just last point before we move on, I think he does sort of hear that people, have a little bit of doubt about him in terms of being that level.
Oh, he's a competitor.
And so I think this is, again, a summer league game won't be remembered 5 years from now, but we're in the here and now, and this is his opportunity today to show people what he's made of.
He'll dunk on you, too.
And I think, he's going to bring a level of intensity to summer league that it's not accustomed to, in my view. I might be totally wrong. He may not give a damn about it, but
he's going to give a damn with it on primetime. Yeah. I think you've nailed this.
Yeah, especially against the Lakers. I think that's a big point. If it was against, the Pelicans or something, it'd be a little different.
Yep. But, for the record, I don't doubt him. He's going to be a star.
Oh, no, you doubt him.
No.
Oh, no, you said you don't want to hear that.
We could hear some doubt in your voice.
Zero doubt.
You call his select exhibition, quote-unquote, crap.
Crap. No. Tired of hearing about it.
No, I think his work ethic is unrelenting. I think if you read about this guy, he's a maniac worker.
Yep.
And one of the things this is why I have doubts about what Utah did, because I think when you have chirping about any sort of peripheral crap, it just lends itself to not being. I think the Edgecombe kid's going to be good, too. I think there are two players that are going to be really good. It's going to be Cooper Flagg, and it's going to be Edgecombe. Edgecombe is a freaking animal, so those two are going to be the best out of the five. By the way, the tickets, have you seen that? You said it. The prices on this thing are $2,500, $3,000 for those
low. If you want to get good ones, yeah. I think it's $260 just to get in the damn building, which for a summer league game is outrageous.
Well, finally somebody in the Thomas and Mack Center. It's been a lonely circuit in that building for a while.
$260 will get you like a lower level Grizz regular season seat, like a pair probably.
Yeah, you can sit on the lap of a player for that here. You know,
yeah.
Let's go to the conversation we've been having this week, and it's an interesting one because of the expectations for Ryan Silverfield. Memphis football win total 8.5.
I mean, I think this number is correct. I mean, I think you could probably blindly every single year set it at 8.5.
That's fair.
In the AAC, and it's like, all right, you're going over, you're going under. You know, listen, you start the season with three bye games, basically. Now, two of them are on the road, which, you know, with the new quarterback is going to make it a little more interesting, but there's really no excuse for the Tigers not to start 3-0. So there's three, right? Then you got Arkansas in here, and we talked about that Arkansas game. I want to get it 100% accurate. So that Arkansas game for the Razorbacks comes after they have to go to Ole Miss and before they play Notre Dame, right? So that's their 3 weeks. They got to go to Ole Miss September 13th. They got to come here on the 20th, and then they got to go to they host Notre Dame on the 27th. I mean, that is a hellacious 3 week schedule for the Razorbacks. Now, I think they are going to be favored here, so I will give the Arkansas Razorbacks the win. But that's 3-1. Then Jason, all we got to do is find six more between FAU, Tulsa, UAB, USF, Rice, Tulane, East Carolina, and Navy.
My goodness,
I mean. I think we're gonna get to nine.
Again, this is why I had a hard time with the, you know, clause in the contract that allows for the new year every time you go over nine. I mean, every time you get nine or more in the regular seasons, because nine's easy in the AAC when you're catching this much of the bottom. You know, he's not having to play Army this year. You're not catching what UTSA. I mean, come on, Rice, Tulsa. These should be wins. No UAB doubt. In the state that it's in, you got Trent Dilfer down there complaining every single day.
Yep.
Frankly, probably shouldn't be coach.
Yep.
And you're catching all that. Like maybe some of the up and comers, like, you know, South Florida, it's a challenge, but that one's here.
It's here.
We've talked about it. Each game that you got against the top boys, you got the advantage there too. Navy,
right.
Tulane, all here. So how in the world should this be under 8.5? I'm going over, and I'm having a hard time. Again, when you've got as much as Memphis has got, it should be over 8.5 every single year.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tulane will be a you'll be probably -1.5 or something like that. I mean, I don't think you'll be a big favorite at all in that one. But you still will be at home. Like, I think, you know, at East Carolina, maybe that you get tripped up there, but I don't know. It feels like 8 or 9. I mean,
they should be 8-1 by the time they get Tulane here. And that's saying that you should beat South Florida coming back here. I've given them that one.
Right.
Saying they've lost to Arkansas.
They could lose the final three of the season, but,
That you should be 8-1, that Tulane game coming in here. You should beat South Florida with where it is and where you're supposed to be with them coming here.
I agree with you. Eight and one should be the record.
Should be the record by the time Tulane rolls in here.
It probably won't be.
No, because you will have lost.
Because that's what they kind of do. Like, they kind of do lose the.
No, but I'm not going to predict that as much as I'm rooting for.
Sure,
and
sure.
But more importantly, it's what should happen.
I agree.
This is what Tulane expects every year. It's like we've talked about. We said with Jonah Dillon, every beat writer we bring, Bonner's the same way.
Right.
Everybody we bring, this should be the expectation
that's
now.
That's right.
Tulane level, Boise State level, you should be projected to at least top three.
Yep.
Every year, and performing that way.
Yep. So
I go over. Here.
I mean, especially if you're just gonna use the market, right? I mean, the market would have you 8-1.
I mean, if you're under 8.5, how much of a failure is it this season, even with a new quarterback, with the quality of player that you can bring in?
Right. No, I mean, I think
we've credited this man for his recruiting year after year, and we've been right to do so.
8-4 is mediocrity in the AAC, relative to the funding and the NIL and the rev share that you have.
And then 9 gets him the new year.
And then 9 gets you the new year.
So that's 9 just waking up out of your sleep.
So look, they're winning 8 games rolling out of bed.
I mean, they're 8-1 going in the Tulane game, as far as I'm concerned. You still got East Carolina. That one's there, but then you get Navy back here.
It basically just means you have to win one of the final three of the year.
I mean, you caught
two at home.
You only have to play Army and UTSA. They're two of the higher projected teams in the league this year, and you get Tulane, South Florida, and Navy at home.
I mean, even Arkansas is at home.
You're catching all kind of. This should be this. Come on, you got to cash in. You didn't do it last year when you were supposed to.
Right.
And maybe you do it this year when you're not. Because what are they going to be picked, fourth or fifth?
Yeah.
Sounds like that's what we're going to have to be.
Yeah.
But it should not be the standard. You know, finishing fourth or fifth should not be, if they're picked there, should not be what's okay around here. And I think they're
going to go over. Yeah. They're going to go. I think they're going to get to 9, and Ryan's going to get the year.
I think they will and should go over.
Yeah. So we agree that they go to, and they will probably, at 9-3, though, that, you know, where will that get them in the AAC race? That's the question. Will that get them in the title game?
Three losses?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing as last year. No.
Yeah. And that's the depressing piece.
Yeah. Same thing as last year. UTSA was the second loss.
Yep. That is the depressing. Now, I mean, it could depend. Like, if you beat Tulane but lose to Navy, maybe there's a world where that, you know, like, who knows what it will look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it feels like you would need some help at 9-3 in this league.
I know some people are going to be like, well, come on. Y'all act like they should win the conference. Well, you're supposed to do that last year. You finished fourth. When are we going to win the damn thing?
Right.
When can we just get to the championship game? I think I'd stick my chest out just for that this year.
And you're right. People will, like, J&J act like they should just go out there and win the damn league.
Well, that was supposed to be last year, right?
So sad.
We didn't do it.
It's so sad.
At some point, we got to hold this thing up.
Hey, Penny did it.
Hold him accountable.
Penny did it. So we need the rest of the.
What'd you expect? We had UTSA.
That's right. What did you expect, man? It's a new, brand new quarterback, a new offense, a new defense.
Yeah.
But again, you didn't do it when you had everybody. So we're getting to the same place, which is it didn't happen.
My guy Jonas still thinks, and that commercial will be right to cover the Tigers, that this will still be the best roster.
Wow.
From a talent standpoint. I mean, he pretty much came on and said that with us yesterday. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but you're going to be right there every year. It doesn't. Again, you get a Brendan Lewis because you can.
Mm.
You know, and these 35, 38 starts that he's got, he brings an experience to the table that, you know, not every group of six school and program would be able to pull in. You did. There should be no drop-off. In fact, you were fourth last year. You should be moving up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some won't accept that, but that is the case.
I'm going over.
All right, over on the Tiger football, let's go to Grizzlies for the 2025-26 season, which their win total has been set at a real hearty 40.5.
So that's everywhere now, DraftKings, FanDuel. Yeah.
We
the
have
number
low,
we had was the number.
Lower expectations, especially since the trade of Desmond Bain.
Yeah, I'm going to say over. I don't feel necessarily very confident about it. It feels like it's like a 41 or 42 win team, or a 39 or 38 win team. Like, I think you're just kind of operating in that bracket. Now, it's like you're assuming some things, right? You're assuming you get enough games out of Jai. You're assuming you get enough games out of Zach Edey. But I do think there are, like, major questions that keep me from feeling super confident about it. You know, the center position, the three, you know. I say over because I want it to hit, but I don't say it confidently.
You do have a lot more things than you used to throw at the three.
That is true.
Right?
That is true.
Between Jalen.
Right.
Between Coward. Between Vince. Gigi, I guess, although many look at him as a four. Right? You feel better about what you're putting there.
Right.
I'm still with you on questions. I mean, no, somebody's got to, and frankly, you want it to be Coward, you know, with what you invested to move up.
Yep.
Somebody's got to take that by the throat. Maybe it's Jalen Wells. You feel good about. You know, you feel good about his floor, right? Jalen's floor.
Yep.
We'll see what the ceiling is. We might have already seen it, but listen, they went. It was 46.5 last year. They went over at 48, and at one point we know they were 35-16. I mean, they looked like they were going to really bust it wide open, as they'd say. But I don't know, man. You're banking on a lot. You're banking on Jai being out there. You know, you're banking on the shooting holding up. The shooting that you brought in, that's Ty Jerome, and KCP's numbers got to go up because a lot's going out with Kennard and Bain, guys. And you know, I mean, that's just the case. And so you're banking on a lot that you haven't seen yet in a Grizzlies uniform in terms of the shooting. Is Jai's game going to change? Is he going to be out there? I have no confidence with
I know that's the thing. It's like I
have more confidence they're going to finish under. I think it's juice to the under. Most of these folks think it's going under. I might as well do it. I'm trying not to sound like a hater is what I'm saying. And I don't care. I need to keep it real. They're going to take a step back. I think that's what I've been preparing myself for and trying to prepare everybody else for.
Yes, you
said
this earlier.
But the question is, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to say then? Is everybody just okay with it? All of a sudden, we've got this new window, and we're saying, okay, well, in 3 years, we'll see where it's at. Because whether we're happy or not, it's really going to be, is Ja Morant cool with this thing having to, a new window? We'll see what happens. I'm going under here. I think this thing backfires in some folks' face. You've tried to go away from being so young. Yep. Last couple of years. Well, now you done quadrupled six times.
Yes.
I went young, and so we'll see what happens. Yeah. I'm going under.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I were actually going to bet it,
fire.
It would be under. Yeah. I mean, I'm not betting over. I'm saying it because I want it to be correct. But
they're not healthy either to start the season.
We didn't even talk about it. You have an unproven coaching system.
Yep.
We're just sort of banking on Isolo being great because Zach Kleiman sees him as this genius. We don't know that his system, his philosophy works in this league against big physical teams. We don't know that. We don't. And we don't know if this roster is going to be deep enough to play. The one thing we know that he does want to do is throw everybody out there, right? Your stars, less minutes. Is this roster going to be deep enough to do that? And are you going to have a big enough center, have that Edie Landale, Jock Landale, what is it, Jock?
Yeah.
Is that guy going to be able to hold up for you all year long? Because it appears you need it in his offensive system.
Now, I do. We haven't talked a lot about Jock. I mean, I really do like him.
He fits that's why you move Jay Huff out of here.
Yeah.
He fits the style he still needs. And he doesn't just need it when Edie's on the floor. He needs it when he's off the floor, too.
But, like, he's like he's a backup, right? Like,
backup to Edie. The specific style.
Yeah, like, and
we'll start the season.
He's going to start. I mean, most likely, right? I mean,
because you need Ja comfortable. That's why you have to put him out there as opposed to sliding folks down, Brandon and Jaron that can't set screens, get Ja comfortable. Remember, we're jumping off to Isolo offense here.
Right.
It's got to be a guy who can be like Edie out there. So, yes, you're imagining right off the bat you have to start him.
Like, I've watched, I watch a lot of international basketball, right? And I, whether it was the World Cup, whether it was the Olympics, and Ja played for Australia. And I always like thought very highly of him in those settings. But FIBA is so different than NBA, man. Like, you can shine in FIBA, and you can come to the NBA, and it's like you're an irrelevant player. It's just shorter game, different rules, different refereeing. You look at his NBA career, and he really, he hasn't really done a whole lot. Hasn't been asked to do a whole lot, but hasn't done a whole lot. Maybe this is a place where hey. He can accept into that role and be that, but it's like it's hard for me to believe he will if he never has. So he's gonna have to do something he's never done. He could. I do think he's a very solid rotation piece, though.
Yeah.
When that can be his role, as far as a starter goes, I mean that's
Can he hold down the fort, man, until your guy gets back in December or whatever it is?
I don't see him as like a defensive guy. I see him as like a offensive guy who can. Make some cheeky plays, make a couple shots, he can set some screens for Ja, will make the right pass.
It's literally just about that and then rolling to the bucket and getting offensive rebounds.
Yes.
Being Steven Adams.
Yes. I mean,
take no shots outside the paint.
Like, he shot 42% from three last year. Yep. Like, that's
with all due respect.
That's how I see him.
Jaron's going to be doing that stuff.
Right.
Need you down rebounding.
Right.
Or else no one will be getting offensive rebounds.
But he didn't play in the playoffs, right? He only played.
Well, I heard an interview. I think Jeff played it, but he talked about, they had to see Steven in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, and he gave Steven credit, he thought at one point this season, he should be playing, Steven Adams should be benched, everything else. But he understood, hey, business, what they've got invested in Steven Adams. And by the time Steven got to the play, he was playing well. And so he said, man, you know, he had to credit Steven Adams for the work ethic and everything else and being ready for the play. Because once he actually got there, they played him next to Şengün, and they liked that. That's part of why Steven's back,
Yep.
And then they added another one to help, Capella, to sort of put the two of those together and help keep, Capella, Steven Adams with the thought, okay, we've got the both of them playing 20 or so minutes. We can preserve at least one of them or both of them for the playoffs. They're not going to overwork one.
Absolutely. So, I mean, look, if I were actually going to a window or on an app to bet this, it would be under because there's too many things it feels like they can go wrong. Like, If I assume the best, I think I may be getting over 40.5. But the West is just so unforgiving every single night. I damn near need the best. So if I just assume the, you know, sort of pessimistic case, I'm under 40.5. Ja misses 15, 20 games. Edie doesn't get back for a while. Landale's not as good of a center fit as we hope. You know, like these are all very plausible things. So I don't think I could get to 40.5 betting it, but I'm going to say over because I'm born and raised in Memphis.
Because you know Bennett's coming on 125. That's
right.
Why you're doing it.
That's right. Just setting the stage.
You got to do that.
Setting the stage, my man. Mm-hmm. But yes, if I were betting it, it'd be under. All right, we'll talk to Drew Hill. Get his thoughts on Summer League. This Grizz team that is just unstoppable against the spread in the Summer League. How many games is he expecting of Jalen Wells? The fits with Landale and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'd turn.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
FM ESPN. Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's in Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Summer League, and he informed me just moments ago that the first bet he placed while in Vegas was Cooper Flagg to score 20 points plus 120. He joins us now. Congrats on the bet, man.
John, stop lying. Stop lying.
All right, that was my bet. That was my bet. I'm sorry.
Why do you lie so much?
I enjoy it. But do you? Would you make that bet if you could?
I'm not a degenerate like you who enjoys betting Summer League to the level that you do. that's crazy. Look, just watch the games and enjoy them, John. The Grizzlies have a good team, man. Like, you know, is that? I'm serious though. Real question has. Do you think you could sit down and just watch a Summer League game without betting on it at this point?
If there was like a connection, you know, if there was like a Tiger or, you know, a Grizz, yeah. Or got Cam Jones with the Pacers, you know, a Memphian, I could watch that. But if it was like King's Magic or like, you know, something like that without a Memphis tie and you're asking me to sit there and watch it, that just feels like Gitmo torture.
Not even for just Cooper Flagg?
Oh, I mean, I bet that game, but yeah, I mean, I'd probably tune in. I'd probably see what's going on, you know, considering everything that's at stake for him. But I don't think I'd sit there and like watch the entire game, unless he was just going crazy.
Yeah.
Summer League basketball is not good. So for you to say, why don't you just enjoy Summer League basketball? I mean, it's like saying, why don't you go enjoy fifth graders play? That's what it feels like sometimes out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's a little bit more entertaining than fifth graders, but that's just me. Yeah, so here in Vegas, Grizzlies have practice today here in a few hours, you know, and we had three entertaining Salt Lake City games. Two entertaining, I should say. One, not quite as entertaining. And a lot to get to. You know, I should have a story out either today or tomorrow on Tomas Isolo, and I'm going to hijack this interview, and I'm going to ask you guys, what is more interesting? Is it Gigi or is it the coach? Like, if I said, what is the most interesting thing about Summer League this year, you would probably think of the players first because that's what we think about. But part of me wonders if it is Isolo, you know, if it is the coach. So, you know, I'll have some thoughts on that later. But
I feel like it's been the summer of GG for 3 years. So it's an old storyline at this point. I'm a little bored.
Yeah,
I'm a little bored
true.
By it. So, yeah, I mean, that's mostly what it is about is Isolo's style. But again, the issue is like none of these guys are going to, for the most part, be playing majorly anyway. So how much of it actually even matters?
I think some of it matters. I think it's I think this is – because if you were paying close attention to the Grizzlies last year when Isola took over, you know, he had – there were comments he made, specifically one answer he gave to Chris Harrington, because everybody was frustrated that the Stars were playing fewer minutes overall than other teams. And one of the answers he gave was like, you know, if our goal is to try to play more intense than the other team for shorter stints so that we can be more dominant in those stints because we have fresh legs and whatever else. And, you know, he said, listen, I'm certainly open. If this doesn't work, I'm going to change it. But, like, you know, I believe that if you want to yield different results in the league, you have to try things that are different than other people. And we're not trying to just be like every other mediocre team. And so I think what we've seen so far is him sort of going back to that thinking after abandoning it late last year because they didn't have the bodies in order to really do it. But it has been interesting to see them do the, you know, full court press over the course of the whole game, constant ball pressure. You know, I don't think he's satisfied with how fast they've played offensively. I think he wants them to play faster. And I do think that this is a trial run. Like, you know, whenever my piece comes out, you'll see, like, some of the stuff that he said was like, you know, the reason I'm coaching Summer League is for several reasons, but one of them is, like, this is going to be a practice run of how we're going to coach this. You know, this is like trial for us to see if this, you know, has the opportunity to work. And, you know, it's an opportunity to figure out how to best manage the flow of those things. And yeah, it's not the players that the Grizzlies are going to use, but for him, for like a setup standpoint, this is something that he wants to try to do. And so I think that, you know, this is useful experience, even if it's not the regular Grizzlies roster. And so at this point, I probably do think that that's, you know, we've seen GG play well in two games. And as you guys know, I wrote, you know, something about GG, and, you know, he said a lot of the right things. You know, he's got to back it up, I think, once he finally gets, you know, into the season, regular season. But, you know, I think we all sort of know that GG has that level of talent, and it's just a matter of him putting it together as a pro and then, you know, producing results on the court. But I think there's still pretty good confidence that that's going to happen at some point. It's just like a matter of him maturing a little bit and growing up. And so, you know, I've kind of moved on. I kind of expect GG to be good in Summer League. He was good in the last Summer League. He was good in the Summer League before that. And so, you know, now I'm interested in, over these next four games, and seeing if this style works and if they're able to, you know, use it to their advantage.
Do you figure, because well, I mean, this has been one of the topics, hey, do you have these guys shown enough, and has a GG or a Jalen Wells at that point? Just to sort of follow up on your point about Isola and your piece that's going to come out and why he's doing this. I mean, this is a deal where you've got your head coach coaching you in Summer League. Because he's there, and because, as you just said, he's laying a foundation, do you expect this? I know we're calling it the big three, but GG, Jalen, Cam, those guys who could be, you know, especially those first two, could be a part of your rotation, particularly Jalen as a starter. Do you expect them to play most of this if Jalen shows well, to, you know, against Boston tomorrow? Are you sitting him? Or because Isolo's out there, do you expect those guys to play more?
I expect them to play part of it. Okay. I don't know if they'll play every game. I think usually if you follow the history of the Grizzlies, like, they try to play their players in Las Vegas Summer League, and it is a bigger deal than Salt Lake City. So, like, I think that they would like to see them out on the floor. And those guys are competitive, you know, they want to play. So, but I think at some point, like, you know, you get three games into this, you play in the last game. If you're not playing for the championship or whatever, like, I could see them, you know, shutting it down and going with something else.
Yeah. Talking to Drew Hill, covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's out there in Vegas, and you're not out there for the entire 10 days, right?
No, I'm staying for the first two games. It'll be my 30th birthday on Monday, so going home to celebrate with my wife because every single year I miss it out here. And, you know, with all the other stuff I got going on in my life, I just need to get back home.
That's right.
Plus, I'm on the 53rd floor. That's the thing. Last year, this is total side note and weird. Every time I've come here and I've stayed where the Grizzlies stay, like they put me on a really high floor and it messes with my ears, man. Like, and I like go crazy after like 3 or 4 days because of the altitude and the pressure. And so I feel like I'm already going crazy. And so, yeah, I just can't be out here for 10 days.
It must take you 15 minutes to get down to the damn lobby, man. 53rd floor.
It takes a long time, dude. It's such an inconvenience. Like I was looking at my phone this morning going, all right, it's what, 9 o'clock? They're going to call me at 9:30. Like, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get to the bottom floor and grab something to eat before I have to come back upstairs. Like, yeah. And that journey might be another 10 minutes.
No question.
It's crazy. Like, I've never experienced anything like this. Like, I know people like work in high rises in big cities. Like, that's got to be such an annoyance. I don't know. Yeah. Just random, but yeah. I can't stand it.
Are you going to go to the Cooper Flagg show?
What time is that game?
It's five. Yeah, 5 out there. Yeah.
Potentially, I might go over there today. I've got, like I said, I got to finish this piece on Islo. So if I get out of practice today around, I don't know, 2 o'clock, you know, y'all's time out there in Memphis, and I finish it up, I might go over there. But I'm undecided on that.
Let's get you on the record on him. Are you a Cooper Flagg guy? Are you a multi-time All-Star? He's going to be one of the greats in the league. You skeptical on him? Where are you on the Cooper Flagg spectrum?
No, I think he's going to be awesome. Like, right, I don't think that there's, you know, much doubt with him. And, you know, I've asked several people since I've been here, like, what do you think? Is he going to be as great as everybody thinks? And I have yet to get an answer that's like, no, I think he's, you know, not really going to live up to expectations. Like, and I think those takes probably do exist, but I haven't run into it. Like, I've asked probably 4 or 5 different people, you know, with different teams and stuff, and every single person's given me the same answer, which is, I think that, you know, Cooper Flagg's going to be awesome. So I assume he's going to be awesome. Those guys scout, they know better than anybody else. Like, I think he's going to be a really great player.
Drew, how important potentially is Jock Landale going to be to the team, you know, especially to start the season with the Edie and Jaren Jackson injury concerns? Do you expect him to be starting and playing a significant time because Islo's going to want his system and his guy that can set screens early for John, do all that rebounding? What do you foresee for him and how important he could be for this team?
I think – obviously, earlier in the season, the role is going to be bigger than late in the season because of the return of Zach Edey. I think he does fit the system better than Jay Huff did. I think that's why they made the move. Both of those things seem to be pretty obvious. And the rebounding numbers are good, right? Like, the rebounding numbers for him, particularly offensively, are really strong. And I think that that's something that he wants to lean into. And I think that, you know, with Ja, we've seen it. Like, the players that can offensive rebound typically are productive because of the threat of Ja going all the way to the basket every single time. And, you know, they end up getting a bunch of freebies, right? Like, Ja misses some shots around the rim, and there has to be so much attention on him that it leaves guys wide open to grab an offensive rebound and put the ball back in the basket. And I think Jock Landale is perfectly capable of doing that. Just side note, I was actually talking to some Rockets people yesterday, and I asked about him, and they said, oh, you're going to love him. Like, Memphis is going to love him because he's got a really good personality. And, like, he's fun, you know. He's Australian, so, you know, typically – those types of players become fan favorites. I don't know whether it's the accent or what they got in the water over there, but they obviously, you know, tend to be some of the more fun personalities on some of these NBA teams. And so what I heard was that I think that they believe that Jock is going to be pretty popular in Memphis once people get to know him. So I'm excited about that part of this too. And, you know, Jock was a player for the Rockets when I asked about his game, like, that was kind of, you know, somebody that was that made some mistakes, I guess, in some of their games. And, like, I don't think he's going to be a perfect player. I think he's going to be somewhat of a flawed player for Memphis, but somebody with a skill set that does fit the roster really well. So even though he might be a little limited, I think he's a good option to get by until they need to get, you know, Edie back on the floor. And I don't know how long Jaren's going to be out, but I don't expect it to be too long. So, you know, knowing that, I think he'll play a role early in the season, but I would be surprised if it doesn't sort of fizzle a little bit, you know, by the time we get to, you know, the middle stages of the season.
The over-under for the Grizz is 40.5. We were just talking about it. If they go over that, now let's just – I'm going to paint a rosy picture. If they go over that, what happened? Like, tell me why they went over 40.5. What went right for the Grizzlies?
Ja got back to playing at one of the peak levels in the league. And I think if he does that, you can paint a really rosy picture. I think that they were able to stay healthy for the most part, if they can get over that. And, you know, Cedric Coward is, at the very least, a decently productive rookie in the NBA. I think if all three of those things happen, you know, you can have some real hope that this team can be, you know, good. Are they going to be the elite of the West? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they have enough based on what some of these other teams have added. But I think, you know, if those things happen, then, you know, Memphis has a chance to be, you know, above 500 and in the playoff mix and hopefully trying to vie for a top six seed in the West. And, you know, and Jaren plays a part in this too. We can't really leave him out. You know, I know he has the injury now to start the season, but I was reminded, which I had almost forgotten, that the last time Jaren was sort of forced to slow down a little bit because of an off-season injury, he came back and was, you know, his best form of himself, won Defensive Player of the Year and had his first All-Star season. And so, you know, I think – you know, we've grown to just like expect what we're going to expect from Jaren, and he's been pretty consistent. But I think that, you know, there's still room for growth there for him too. So, you know, if Ja and Jaren are really awesome, this team has a chance to be good. Ja and Jaren have to be healthy and they have to be awesome. Like that's sort of where this thing starts and ends.
And then Cole Anthony, in terms of what happens with him, is that something that, you know, maybe it happens? Are we all still assuming by the time we roll around training camp and everything else, he will be elsewhere? Is there a chance now and, you know, an increasing chance he's with the team? Sort of what are you envisioning with Cole at this point?
I don't think that this pause, the fact that they haven't waived him or whatever, suggests that they're having second thoughts about keeping him. But I do think that, you know, that they're trying to keep their options open, right? Like, trades are not done. Players are going to get waived, you know, after summer league. Like, there's more work to be done here for the Grizzlies. It could be as simple as waive and stretch Cole Anthony, which would be, you know, a bummer because you would have dead money, right, over three additional seasons, I believe. And that is the safety net, right? You could always do that in order to get the Jaren extension done. But since that's already agreed to, like I don't see a way unless they're able to trade off other players and free up money, an avenue for Cole Anthony to be with the Grizzlies. So I think that this is more of the waiting game, trying to figure out the best avenue to get off the money, and, you know, hoping that there's a trade there so that you don't have dead money. That would be the best scenario for Memphis.
Yeah, and then in terms of what OKC has done, like you saw the SGA deal got done, Holmgren got his deal done. And it seems like they'll still find a way, like, to avoid the second apron somehow. Like, are they going to really be able to keep this team together?
Yeah, but not right now. Like, those extensions are for later on down the road, right?
And they're pricing in a salary cap, right? They're pricing in an increase, I assume.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I saw a lot of grave dancing when they signed all those players, and I didn't get it. It's like, you know, they're not going anywhere for two more seasons. Like their money's not kicking in. So like, what is, I don't get it. Like,
it's only hope. It's only hope, Drew.
It comes for everyone, right? Like the expense of the players, especially when you have that many good players, it comes for everyone. And there will be a time that it dies out for OKC. But like the fact that they signed those guys to an extension doesn't mean that that's going to be the end to OKC, because one, they don't kick in right now. And two, because those players are really good. So they could still be really good. They may not be as deep, but like, what happens if Jalen Williams gets better? Like, I'm not trying to be like pounding the drum for the Thunder and saying how awesome they are all the time. But like, you know, it's not like this Thunder run is not over because they signed those guys to an extension. Like, and I've seen a little bit of that sentiment, and I just don't agree with it. Like, I think that, you know, that's something that the Thunder had to do, especially coming off of a championship. But like, it's not really going to affect them all that much for the next two seasons. Like, if you're hoping to wait out the Thunder, like, you're going to be waiting a little bit more.
Are we going to be no chance of Coward? Are we kind of ruling him out? I know it hadn't like officially, but any chance we might see him in Vegas or no? You expect him with the shoulder surgery? Play this safe.
It's a very small chance. Right. Like, I've asked about it several times, and like the answer I continuously get is like, it's not a 0% chance, but it's low. Okay. Like, I would be surprised at this point if he plays. And if he does play, I think it'll be, you know, one of the later games here in Vegas, you know. So that's sort of where things are with that.
I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's a little sad. Like, I would have, you know.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
I mean, that's the end of it, you know. It's like, it's a bummer if it's like not really a long term thing. So, but
the deal would be, I guess you have him out there, Drew, and you have him around the terminology and every, you know, you pick up what he can, just kind of listening in. Is that the practices and that kind of thing? Is that the general idea?
Yeah, but I didn't see him in Salt Lake.
I was wondering. Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't see him in Salt Lake. So I wonder if he was back. I didn't ask about this, but I wonder if he was back in Memphis still training or whatever. But I would guess we're going to see him here. Like, there was a 0% chance he was going to play in Salt Lake.
Right.
So, you know, I think we're going to find out here in a couple hours when I go to practice. Cool. if he's here in Vegas with the team.
I think so. Yeah, with Isolo there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why not? Right. What else would he be doing?
And I can understand that. Summer League in Utah, but yeah. Vegas, you'd probably want
to. You know who I would like to be right now? Who? Devin Booker. $75 million a year for the next 2 years. He flew to Vegas to sign the deal. I mean, that's who I'd like to be right now.
It would be nice. That check would hit pretty hard, right?
But yeah, it would hit hard.
Also, not going to be winning much.
Exactly. So those losses, those 40-plus losses, those 50 losses is going to hit pretty hard too, you know?
It's hazard, hazard pay, man. That's what it is. It's like damages, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to be a part of a horrible team.
Well, and your pick goes to the Grizzlies, right, Drew?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. The pick goes to the Grizzlies. So, I mean, as a city, you know, this upcoming season – of course, everyone is Grizzlies fans, but number two, we are anti-Suns. We hate the Phoenix Suns in Memphis, right? Like we always have
Easy.
Now at this point, you know, can't be cheering for the Suns at any point next year. So John, with all of your betting habits, you got to stay away from Phoenix for the sake of the city.
Yeah, I do not bet the regular season NBA unless it's like somebody's out or something. But don't we also need to root for the Wizards as well? Or against the Wizards? It's not just the Suns. We have multiple teams we need to root against.
Yes, and I wish I was more prepared right now. But
we still don't understand the damn thing.
It's Phoenix.
There's caveats to that where like. It's way more likely that it's going to be the Suns pick.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.